Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic is to continue negotiations with the U.S. regarding participation on a new type of missile defense system, which could go into operation in 2015. Former Czech President Václav Havel has hit back at Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek for an opinion piece suggesting he and others on the political scene longed for a world of iron curtains. The Czech Republic has taken a 2-0 lead over Croatia in the semi-final of the Davis Cup. The Czech Republic is to continue negotiations with the U.S. on participation regarding a new type of missile defense system, the Czech Defense Minister Martin Bartak has said. On Friday, he met with officials in Washington, including U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates and the head of the U.S. National Security Council, James Jones. Further high-level talks are expected by the end of the year, and the Czechs have expressed an interest in having its experts join the Missile Defense Agency. The latest developments come after the U.S. scrapped plans for a tracking radar in the Czech Republic and intercepted rockets in Poland this week, components of a system backed by former U.S. President George W. Bush. Instead, the U.S. will now look into creating a mobile ground-based system blocking the threat of short and mid-range rockets, which could go into operation in 2015. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates made clear on Friday that the Czech Republic and Poland, but also other EU countries, were possible candidates for participation in the project. Former Czech President Václav Havel has taken issue with comments made by Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek in the Czech daily Pravo. In an opinion piece in the Daily on Friday, Mr. Paroubek suggested that Havel, along with others such as former Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, quote, longed for a world of iron curtains, a response to Mr. Havel's position on the U.S. radar base cancelled by the Obama administration this week. Mr. Havel responded on Saturday by writing in Pravo that Mr. Paroubek was, quote, lying. He wrote that unlike the Social Democrat leader, he had done all that was in his power to help bring down the Iron Curtain. In roughly 2 months, the Czechs will mark the 20th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution, which toppled the communist system in Czechoslovakia and lifted the playwright and former dissident Václav Havel to power. In sport, the Czech Republic have taken a 2-0 lead over Croatia in the semi-final of the Davis Cup, leaving them a point away from the final. On the opening day of matches on Friday at the Croatian seaside town of Poreč, the Czech Republic's tennis player Radek Škipanek survived a 5-hour, 59-minute epic against Croatia's Ivo Karlovic, in which the latter served a world-record 78 aces. In the second match, Tomáš Berdych played another five-setter against Croatian number 1 Marin Cilic, edging him 6-3 in the final set. A win in the doubles match on Saturday would put the Czechs through to the final, which they won only once back in 1980. I'm Jan Vellinger. That's the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Rosie Johnston. Coming up in the show today, this week the press has been awash with reports on political turmoil in the Czech Republic, but what else has been happening? Find out in Magazine. We have a money-themed edition of Soundcheck lined up for you later in the programme, and in One-on-One this week we meet leading Czech astronomer Jiří Grigar. All that's coming up, so don't go away. But first, it's over to Daniela Lazarova, who has this week's magazine.
Carrots, celery and cucumbers making sweet music together. No, it's not an ad for vegetables, but the Vienna Vegetable Orchestra at play. The popular 12-member ensemble visited the Czech Republic this week, giving special performances in Prague's Palác Akropolis. You won't catch them playing dvořák. They go for experimental music and jazz, with carrots whistling, dry beans rustling and pumpkins being used as drums. The music instruments, made of fresh vegetables, are created anew for every performance with the help of knives, peelers and even a drilling machine. They have their moment of glory, and after the performance they're turned into tasty vegetable soup, which the audience is then invited to sample. A schoolgirl from the Czech Republic has won first prize in an international letter-writing competition organized by the Universal Postal Union. The competition for under-15s is held every year, and this year's winner was 14-year-old Dominika Koflerová from the town of Frýdek-Místek. The topic was how decent working conditions can lead to a better life. And Dominika wrote about a chocolate bar made in Zambia that she had recently received, and organizations which help producers in developing countries sell their goods abroad at a fair price. Dominika says she was amazed but very excited to have been selected among thousands of young contestants the world over. Next year's topic, just in case you're interested, is write a letter to someone to explain why it is important to talk about AIDS and to protect oneself against the disease. The fairgrounds in Letňany last week hosted an exhibition of interior design presenting the work of over 450 world designers, and visitors to the expo were in for a treat. They could admire the biggest wardrobe in the world. The wardrobe was made as a curiosity by the Czech firm Artstyle, but is actually one of the items on sale. It is beautifully hand-painted with motifs of the four seasons of the year. And no matter how much stuff you have, you will never be short on space. The wardrobe is 6 meters tall and 4 meters wide, and you need to get on stilts even to just open the door. It took 2.5 months to hand paint and cost several hundred thousand crowns. Of course, chances are it might not fit into your flat, and it needs an appropriate setting to show it off to its best advantage, ideally a palace. Several potential buyers have already expressed interest, one of them from Dubai. The wardrobe is expected to get a place in the Guinness Book of Records, since the biggest wardrobe in the world to date is a 4.5-meter piece made in China. There are real treasures to be found on the scrap heap if you keep your eyes open and dig deep enough. Every year, over 40,000 tons of electric appliances are collected for recycling in the Czech Republic, and some of them are real museum pieces. In an effort to prevent these treasures getting recycled, along with broken modern-day appliances of little value, the company that runs 70 scrapyards around the country announced it would hand out money prizes for the best finds. Soon, it had calls from scrap dealers across the Czech Republic who scrambled to make some extra money, sifting through the garbage for anything special. As a result, the company has acquired dozens of precious finds, including a film projector from 1900, a home solarium lamp from the 1930s, and a working Philips radio receiver made before World War II. The collection will be turned into a travelling exhibition called Museum of Electric. The Czech Republic may soon get its first dark sky reserve, where stargazers will be able to fully appreciate the natural glory of the night skies. The reserve is an emerging bilateral project on the Czech-Polish border and is expected to cover some 70 square kilometers of land. Roughly half of it should lie in the Liberec region, half in Poland. The organizers want to declare the area a dark sky reserve before the year is out, since 2009 is International Astronomy Year. Although people can admire the night skies pretty much anywhere outside the big cities, experts say that the degree of light pollution is now such that even places far out in the country do not really afford an ideal view. In other words, you don't know what darkness is until you've seen it in a protected area. By way of comparison, in towns, sky gazers get to appreciate a few hundred stars at best. A dark sky reserve will allow you to admire thousands and thousands more, even with a naked eye. The idea to create such a reserve came from the Polish side of the border, and the authorities in the Liberec region are very enthusiastic about seeing it implemented. And in order to give people a glimpse of what lies in store, they have planned a 2-minute total blackout next week, during which the entire Liberec region will be veiled in darkness. Good for them, and let's hope it's not a cloudy night.
Daniela Lazarova, thank you very much. And it's actually staying with Daniela now for this week's sound check, in which you can pick up some finance-related Czech idioms.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the group Alkohol and is called Až já jednou budu bohatej, When I Get Rich. The word to listen out for is prachy, which is a frequently used slang expression for money, and the choice is no coincidence. What with the economic crisis and a looming record budget deficit next year, money is the operative word in most conversations these days. Mít velký prachy jsem vždycky chtěl. I always wanted to make big money, but I've given up on that dream. What a life I could have had if I'd been born right. A grand villa, garden, and a fast car in the garage. How come I still don't have them when I work like a dog? The lyrics of the song go, a sentiment that many people are likely to share. If you hear someone called a prachač, then you're looking at a rich man. You can also say ten je v balíku, meaning he's loaded. Je zazobaný, he's riding a gravy train. Or ten může penězma vytapetovat byt. He has so much money he can use it as wallpaper, unlike our singer here. Although you're likely to hear the word prachy everywhere, the proper expression for money is actually peníze, and there are various ways to say that someone has money to burn. You can say he has peněz jako babek, as much money as he has babkas, babka being a type of mushroom that grows everywhere, or peněz jako smetí, as much money as garbage, in other words, a never-ending supply. A difficult one to explain is peněz jako želez, meaning someone has as much money as bits and pieces of iron around the house. This is an old saying based on the fact that in the old days, people relied on DIY and had boxes of nails, hammers and other iron things around the house. Here's another blast of alcohol. If you want to say a company is making big profits, you say, tam se prachy jen točí, money sure turns there. In other words, it circulates fast. People who are aspiring to be rich, like the singer in question, otočí každou korunu dvakrát, turn over every crown twice in their hand before reluctantly parting with it. They believe in the saying, co je doma, to se počítá, money that stays at home counts, or kdo šetří, má za tři, he who saves has enough for three, a saying that the Czech finance minister Eduard Janota, who is pushing an austerity package for 2010, would doubtless put his signature to. And that brings us to the end of today's Soundcheck. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me, and naschledanou.
Daniela Lazarová with this week's Soundcheck. Now, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Prague, where, in the last part of our show today, it's time for One-on-One, for which, this week, Christine Falvey met astronomer Jiří Grigar.
It's fairly safe to say that anybody in the Czech Republic who knows anything about astronomy has learned at least some of it from Dr. Jiří Grigar. Something of a Czech Carl Sagan, Dr. Grigar has been a frequent personality of Czech and Slovak television screens since his popular program Windows Wide Open to Space in the late 1970s. He was the chairman of the Czech Astronomical Society and is one of the founding members of the Czech Club of Skeptics, Sisyphus, which battles pseudoscience and charlatanism in the Czech media. I met Dr. Grigar in his tiny office at the Physics Institute of the Academy of Sciences and asked him to tell me how he first became interested in his life's passion.
I was a very avid reader. When I was young, I started to read, I think at the age of 5. And always when I read some book which could be considered as a popular science. So I was very much attracted to science or technology. And I always told my parents that I would become an engineer or something like geologist or something like that. And once when I was 9, I got the first book that was dealing with astronomy on popular level. It was especially written for the teenagers. I was very much attracted by the book, and I announced to my parents that I would become an astronomer. And they laughed, of course, because they know that after fortnight I would say something else, but it was not the case.
But what about when you were only 9? Yeah. That is, so what about when you realized everything that it would entail, the mathematics and difficult physics?
Yes, it was practically immediately when I started really to be serious about my future astronomy profession. So at the end of 10, I realized that it is necessary to be very good in physics and mathematics. And we did not have physics in that time in school, but we did have mathematics. And I was very poor. I was one of the poorest pupils in the class. So I realized that being an astronomer, I need to be not poor, but not even average, but much above the average. So I bought a book about mathematical problems for the grammar school students. And I was not yet a grammar school student, but during the summer holidays, I really mastered about 1,000 of these problems. And in that way, I just overcome this deficiency.
In most countries, I would say, astronomers are not very well-known public figures, but I think you have made a strong public impression. The public in general in the Czech Republic knows your name and they know about your work. How has that come to be the case?
I believe that I had several advantages. One advantage is that practically all my relatives, especially my mother, was a teacher. And therefore, I probably have some teaching genes. So when I learned about astronomy, I was so much excited by these big notions about the universe. And I had really the urge to tell these big things to everybody who was able to listen, and sometimes even to those people who were not much willing to listen. For instance, I built my first telescope when I was about 12 or 13. So immediately I put the telescope on the corner of our street. And at evening I just asked people just to look through my telescope. So I was really aggressive in that. I tried to just to convince everybody that astronomy is fantastic. And the second advantage is that when I was about 16, I became among the first demonstrators at the Brno Observatory. And I discovered a very interesting thing, that when you are lecturing to people in a normally lit hall, so people are rather shy to ask you for some peculiar question because they are afraid of being blamed for very stupid questions or something like that. But when they are in the dome of the telescope, it is night and you have to switch off all lights. So it is very intimate surroundings. And they lose this shyness. And they start to ask very, very queer questions. Sometimes I was just caught by surprise. So at home, I really studied, just tried to invent some analogy from the daily life. And in this way, I started to be trained in answering all kinds of questions about astronomy. And I think this was the difference, because I had the advantage that I was able to explain these sometimes difficult problems of, say, understanding astronomy, even to people without any education, because I had this training from the dome.
And it was that, I guess, that brought you your television program, Windows Wide Open to Space, I guess would be the translation.
Right. Yeah, because I knew what can I expect from the general public. So I applied this experience in these television programs and just followed my instinct, because the science is difficult.
What has the Czech Republic and Czechoslovakia contributed to the study of astronomy and the study of space?
Under the communist regime, the best one was done was the study of small bodies of the solar system, like comets and minor planets. But, you know, we had such an... really did have an exceptional tradition. And because of this tradition in Czechoslovakia or Czech countries under, Charles IV's time and Rudolf II, emperor, this was very important. Rudolf II in the 16th, 17th century, he invited to Prague Tycho Brahe, the greatest observer, and Johannes Kepler, the greatest theoretician in astronomy. So practically Prague in that time was really the capital of astronomy of the world. So since then, I think astronomy was always very popular. Take the Prague clock at the Staroměstské náměstí. This is one of the oldest such machine in the world, and it could be done just because we had good astronomers who had calculated all these motions. It's quite a complicated machine. It's practically a computer.
I'll just ask you one more question, and that's about Sisyphus, how that came into being.
Yeah. It happened after the World Revolution. On one side, we were all very happy that finally we got the freedom of speech. And we discovered the drawback of this, that if you have a freedom of speech, so you have also the freedom to publish all kinds of stupidities about healing, about pathogenic zones, about the end of the world, astrology, of course. That's a freedom. And actually the first initiative was from some of the journalists, because they say, you know, we have the freedom of speech, so we cannot punish these people, we cannot call them to court, but we have to do something. And our colleagues from Slovakia already made such a society in 1994. So finally we realized that we have to do something similar, and in 1995 we established this Czech skeptic club called Sisyphos, because we know that our work is just Sisyphos-like. That means we cannot finish it, and we would always lose.
Do you feel like you've had any success in combating stupidity?
Yeah, I think so. At least now it is quite clear, I think, even to innocent public, that there is a really dividing line between critical reasoning and all kind of speculation. So I think that this is now very well known in our country. Of course, we are very much criticized. We are suffocating the free thinking. And that always it was in the history of science that those people who had the fresh ideas, they were always ridiculed. And after some years or decades or some centuries, it is now clear that they were right. So we are just the inquisitors. But I don't think we will change our minds because it seems to be rather important. And I think many people are just happy that Sisyphus exists.
That was Jiří Grygar talking there to Radio Prague's own Christian Falvey. And that's all we've got time for today here on Radio Prague. Tune in tomorrow for Magic Carpet, which this month profiles Prague's own all-star refugee band. And of course, write to us about anything you've heard that you would like to comment upon in today's show. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. And if you want to send us a good old-fashioned letter, then you can to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. And don't forget to check out our spangly new website, the address for which is, of course, www.radio.cz. But for now, from me, Rose Johnston, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's thanks for listening, and goodbye.